Don't you rant!
Hello, friends. We are back for part two of our conversation about the reviews/audio commentaries that Red Letter Media has been so kind to grace the world with at their jocular Midwestern humor. Yeah.
Yes, we're back. We're back.
They're from Chicago, right? I think they're pretty sure from Chicago.
You're asking the wrong man.
They sound like they're from Chicago.
I have no idea. But yeah, they are jovial chaps, and they're putting out a lot of content over on the YouTube, George.
Yeah, they do pump out a lot. If we have any listeners who are in Chicago, which I don't think we do because no one cool is in Chicago, then let us know if these guys are from Chicago.
Let us know if you know the people from Red Letter Media.
Yeah. Maybe hang out with them, go to the gym with them, or, you know, share a deep dish pizza together while you're...
Ooh, that deep dish. Yum.
Well, yeah. Pizza while you're doing tax evasion.
Do you like a deep dish, George?
You
a deep dish
it's fan? Okay. It's fine. I like, as far as Chicago deep dish goes, I feel like I had the biggies, but my favorite there is from a little place called Pequod's, which was Pequod's. Delightful.
We go to that one, George?
We did not. That was the second time we went to Chicago.
Oh, okay. We went to two different chains. What were they called, George? One was a very short name called...
We went to Gino's.
Gino's, yeah.
And Lou Malnati's. Lou's. Which are like the big ones.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
Well, we did the big ones, George.
We did.
Yeah.
We did the big ones with the Indiana Jones guys.
We did. We had a great time. Not a single piece of pineapple in sight, I might say.
Ugh, unfortunately, but whatever.
Thank God. But yeah, we are back for another chat, and this time...
Oh, I want to say real quick, Neil, before we jump off the pizza train, if you haven't had it and you have a chance to try it, I highly recommend Detroit-style pizza.
Oh, what's that?
It's kind of like, instead of having like a thin crust just slam filled with cheese and meat, like basically, you know, deep dish pizza is basically like pizza casserole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the opposite, where the crust is like... It's dimensionally thicker, but if it's done right, it's very light and fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just got a normal amount of distribution on top for toppings wise. And then you do like a cheese around the edge that kind of makes it that's sort of like crispy, crunchy, cheesy like edges. So it's just, there's not a bad bite in the entire
thing. Cheesy edges. Well, and then it's covered in motor oil and then a car runs over it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
Detroit
that.
Style. And then RoboCop stands
that good
on
flavor.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Dead or alive, you're coming with cheese.
That cheese on the crust sounds like a good idea. I don't know why they don't do that.
It's so good. It's so good. Pizza. There's a place out here in Denver called Blue Pan, which, I mean, you can't have the pizza there and then not think about it for like the next week.
Wow. Blue Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Wuhan.
Yeah. It's like a callback to 5 minutes of trouble.
That's right. The old Wuhan. I bet he doesn't eat pizza. But I bet he did celebrate Chinese New Year, George, which we've just had. This is a little giveaways to the recording schedule that George and I have for these special episodes. I think the one that you guys had, part one, we talk about, I think we just recorded right around Christmas time. We like to record only on the major national holidays.
Yeah, because then we can talk about stuff and then, you know, have conversations about other things besides the things we're supposed to talk about.
Exactly.
Like, we're on brand.
Exactly. And so here we are for part two. And today, George, we're talking about Red Letter Media's discussion on Gremlins 2, The New Batch. And I say discussion because it's not a commentary track. Last time they did a commentary.
Different distinction. For sure. Because the first one was a hour and six.
Full length.
Almost 2 hour conversation that devolved into just watching the movie after about an hour because you like the movie. This is a full on review where they discuss points and they talk about how they liked it, what they didn't like it. And this is only about 49 minutes, a little bit over that.
Yes. It's two guys and it's only two of them instead of three. So it's basically, it's two guys.
They ate the third one to gain his strength.
It's two guys talking about Gremlins 2, So this podcast is two guys talking about two guys talking about Gremlins 2.
Basically.
It's nice.
They definitely start out talking about their audio commentary and all the conversations they had about Gremlins 2 during the audio commentary, which is a little meta, but that's also very Gremlins 2, so it's right online. Yeah.
Yeah, and what they do, this is, they're in a little studio, so the two of them. Now, I believe it's Micah and Jay. Now, I don't know who these people are, so I just know that maybe you guys do. Are these guys famous, George? Do people know who these are?
They're the Red Letter Media guys. That's really what they're known for. I don't believe they have any other things standing since they've started doing that.
Does that make them famous? I mean, are they famous for that? Do people know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's been around forever because they did that whole series of reviews or not so much. Yeah, they did like a running commentary review on like the original or the prequels they did, which was kind of what got them on the map. And that was really funny.
Oh, they tapped into that Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they did this, you can find them all on YouTube. Just look up The Phantom Menace, Red Letter Media, and it's like an 8 or 9 part series where they just talk nonstop about the movies and how crazy bad they are.
So it's Micah and Jay, and Jay is wearing a lovely Gremlins cardigan.
Yes.
I feel like I should get
one of these. Do you call them a different name over there? Jumpers?
It's cardigan. Jumper does not have a button.
So it's just an actual sweater as a jumper.
Sweater and jumper are basically the same thing.
Okay. But this cardigan's got buttons on it, so it becomes a cardigan, right?
If you cut a jumper down up the front and stuck buttons on it, it would be a cardigan.
Okay.
Are you a cardigan guy, George?
I have worn them. I have an old man sweater with buttons on it that I don't wear very often, but I do own one.
So you can still call them sweaters when they've got buttons on the front?
As funny as like, because we'll call them cardigans and sweaters is interchangeable, but it's like a cardigan is a sweater, but a sweater is not a cardigan because a cardigan has to have the buttons on it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No buttons, can't call it cardigan.
Nope, it's just a regular old sweater.
Buttons, could call it cardigan, could call it sweater.
Or a sweater, absolutely.
Jumper? What's a jumper?
That is actually a jumper is it's basically like a skirt with shorts in it. It's something that women wear. It's got like shorts that's also attached to a bodysuit. So it's basically like a whole one piece. And jumpers are really cute and awesome, except the universal complaint about jumpers is the fact that when you wear them, you have to commit to getting completely naked when you go to the bathroom.
You have
to take it all off in order. There's no accessibility to them.
So is that a onesie? Was it onesie different?
I guess it's in onesie territory because it's all one piece. But then I always feel onesies are like floor to like sealed off feet, pajama type things all the way to
shorts.
The top. So these are shorts with.
I think over here we call that a playsuit.
Why?
I know, right? It seems weird. Well, like a playsuit to me is something I had when I was 7 years old.
Finally, at least you admit that it sounds weird for once. You're like, okay, that one's weird. Okay, that one's weird.
You didn't have a cowboy outfit when you were 7 years old? That was a playsuit.
Yeah, but these are adult fashions for women.
Mm-hmm.
And you can wear cowboy boots and hats with them if you want to, but I mean, that's how you want to accessorize.
Why not? It's going to add to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to add something. Well, yeah, so Jay is in a lovely Gremlins cardigan. You can buy these on the internet, George. I've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
They look nice. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should get one for next Christmas.
This holiday season, I saw a family walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were wearing... One was wearing a Ghostbusters cardigan. One was wearing... believe it was a Jurassic Park cardigan, and then the mother and son of the group were both wearing this exact Gremlins cardigan.
Really? Oh, that's great. Yeah. I feel like it's only in the last couple of years where we've started to see the traditional Christmas sweater adorned by kind of movie motifs.
Yeah, it's the acquisition of the ugly Christmas sweater vibe, but now turning it into fun Christmassy movie crossovers.
Yeah. Do you own one of these? Is there a
my
particular
only
movie one?
Ugly? I have a T-shirt that has the ugly Christmas sweater motif of like the white piping and then some reindeer on it and some snowflakes and that. And the only actual Christmas sweater I own is a large, bulky number that has Santa Claus as a centaur.
Oh, nice.
So like the bottom half is a horse and the top half is it's like a muscular, beefy, ripped up, abbed Santa Claus.
Right.
Yeah.
Saucy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
It's a couple of different takes there.
It goes all over the place.
Yeah. I've got a Christmas sweater. It's just got a big, it's black and then it's got like a snowfall effect. And then it's just got a big picture of a turkey on the front, like a cartoon turkey. And it says, "Talk turkey to me."
Okay, is that more of a holiday sweater then, since it's got the turkey on?
Yeah, it's a Christmas sweater.
Okay, yeah. But you can wear.
I mean, you can wear it whenever you want, really.
Yeah,
yeah, really, you could.
I encourage it.
Nobody that I know of saw that and then did talk turkey to me.
You know what? You should probably make your feelings known more. Be like, yes, this is a sweater I'm wearing, but I would appreciate it if you would do that in real life.
Pigeon? Yeah, it's not just there for the show.
Like I'm here for you.
I want to talk, and I want to talk turkey. I don't know what that means actually. What does that mean?
I think talk turkey just means like be honest, as far as like a euphemism goes. I'm not sure where it came from.
Does it talk turkey? I thought it probably meant like just talk a load of gibberish.
What? Just say gobble 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 a lot?
Yeah, or just talk nonsense. Just talk about stupid thing. I don't know. I really don't know. Never thought about that before. Bought the jumper.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this memorable.
Sorry, my phone started playing for no reason whatsoever. That was awkward.
Hey, Siri, shut up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Siri.
Oh.
And now you're Siri.
No, my Siri flicked off.
I'm sorry, what did you say, you piece of shit?
Ah, boy, modern technology. Well, anyway, should we get back to this red letter stuff? I don't know.
I mean, that's what we're
having,
doing, right?
Having more fun talking to you about nonsense. Talking turkey with you, George. well, so one thing we did last time, George, was we decided that we would keep a little section on something they discussed for this part, for part two. And that was when they started talking about Gremlins 3.
Yes, and they spend a good chunk of this initial bit talking about Gremlins 3.
They do. So we should talk about them talking about Gremlins 3 in the first one.
Because their motif idea was Gremlins take over the White House.
Mm. And with Clamp as president.
Yeah, Clamp becomes elected president.
I think we went George, didn't we?
I feel like we maybe talked about that. This seems like a logical step, especially if you're watching the second one and you see Clamp as Trump and you're like, mind's like, yeah, why wouldn't Clamp make a great president?
Exactly. So what they did with it, which is quite clever, I think, was they pointed out that would be another escalation. So you've got Kingston Falls, small town, in the first one, New York building, skyscraper in the second one, and then you escalate it to a national level. Gremlins are in Congress. They had a good laugh at the idea of Gremlins in Congress passing Gremlin bills.
What do you think some Gremlin bills would be, Neil?
I don't know, like candy-related stuff, like free candy for everyone.
Do you think they'd abolish daylight savings time?
Yeah, they should. They should have like a curfew, but it's a reverse curfew.
Yeah,
you're not allowed out during the day. Everyone's got to be outside at night.
None of the weird clock adjustments. It's like it's midnight all over the place.
It's everywhere. Oh yeah, let's regulate midnight. Let's just make it clear to everyone when midnight is. They were quite clever, George, where they figured out how to get Kate and Billy in. Because Billy is like a gremlin expert that they bring in as a White House advisor guy. And Phoebe Cates works in the White House for Clamp.
As a tour guide?
As possibly a tour guide. and so that's kind of like a bit like an Independence Day kind of vibe to it.
I
quite like that.
I think it'd be really great if they could take it to the Red Dawn version, where you know the gremlins are trying to take over the country, and you know we've got a form of resistance to fight back.
Right, with like I like the idea of the gremlin generals, led by Stripe, of course, in the bunker. Yeah, it's probably like so. We had Stripe, we had Mohawk. What would we have this time? I don't know. Punk. Like a nice punk, a big punk gremlin. I think that would be funny. But you know what I mean? Like in the bunker, the Gremlin generals tossing about the battle plans. I think that'd be good. Smoking cigars.
Yeah. Cussing a lot, but like Gremlin-esque.
They also talked about who would direct it, who they would choose to direct it. They mentioned the guy who directed Krampus. Now, I've never seen Krampus, George, but I believe you have.
I have seen Krampus.
Any good?
It's okay. It's fine. It's weird, dark, and sort of like one of those movies you're like, oh, okay, that's how that ended.
And so this guy's called Michael Doherty, I guess, I don't know. Would he be a good choice, do you think?
I personally, just because I love everything he does, I want to see Taika Waititi do a Gremlins movie.
Oh, yeah. He's got some good ideas, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's been tagged for a new Star Wars movie, and he just did Jojo Rabbit, and he's done Thor Ragnarok, and What We Do in the Shadows, and
right,
it is like everything he's done is just amazing. So I would love to see his take on because if anyone could do fun but also dark, I feel like he could manage it.
Did he do the Wilder People one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was a great one. I think that's his best movie.
I don't know. I really like Jojo Rabbit a lot.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You should definitely watch that new movie.
That only just came out here. Yeah, that was late. We got that late. You guys got that a lot earlier than us.
Yeah, I saw it 5 months ago, 6 months ago, something like
that. Whoa, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know who I would want to make it, mainly because I don't want anyone to make it. But if someone had to make it, should Joe Dante just make it?
I mean, if he wants to, but I don't know. I feel like when we come to the Gremlins property... And I think that Joe Dante feels this as well. I feel like he's got the mindset of, I've given you all I want to give in regards to Gremlins. Like, the property is done. I put my stamp on it. I put my anti-stamp on it. Mm-hmm. I've done what I can do. Give it to somebody else if you want
to
do it.
There's nowhere to go, is there, for him, from Gremlins 2?
I don't know what else that he would do in order to, like, up the ante. I mean, I think in order to change this to the point where it's interesting, you'd have to get a completely new, fresh voice in there.
Fresh take, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit out of touch now as well, isn't he? I mean, he's 73. I mean, okay, people still work in the 73s, especially in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
But I feel like he made some great movies back in the 80s and 90s. But after that, I'm not so sure. Like, Looney Tunes back in action? I don't know.
Never saw that.
And then he's only made two movies after that, and that was 2009's The Hole. I don't know if I...
What
I don't
was that,
know
if, what was that about?
Is that like, I think it's a straight-up horror. Like, I don't know. People go in a hole and
I mean, that's... I hope
die.
So, given the fact that...
There's something in the hole... It kills them, and then some of them get out. I think that's probably what happens. And then in 2014, he made the movie Burying the X.
Nope, never heard that one either. I think the last Joe Dante movie I saw that was not Gremlins related was Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers, yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a bunch of TV stuff. I think you feel like he does more TV stuff. So I think maybe it does need a bit of fresh blood if they're going to do it.
I think so. And I think like someone like fun, like Taika Waititi, who has a sense of humor, but also can just like really get in there and do the chops. Just like they have the chops to just actually make a really damn good movie.
You know who might be good, George? I think, you know who did that third Harry Potter movie, the Azkaban, Prisoner of Azkaban?
Oh, Alfonso Cuarón? Yeah. I think he would do a good job of it.
He's got that little dark edge.
Because he did Pan's Labyrinth and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got like a sense of whimsy, but also a sense of menace to it.
Was he the Pan's Labyrinth guy?
Yeah.
Was that not Del Toro?
Oh, Del Toro. Shit, what else did he do?
He would be good too. Ooh, that's a good shout, George. He's got that, because he's got the kind of weird kind of Hellboy dark kind of vibe thing going on. He'd be a great shout. Who do you think, listeners? Let us know. Let us hit up the Facebook. Who you think should direct Gremlins 3? Here's a question for you, George. In Gremlins 3, should Gizmo turn into a gremlin?
I feel like if that happened, they would have some way of discovering how to turn him back. Because I don't think that he, as a cultural icon, can be shifted that far before it's just like, well, you just obliterate him as a cultural icon.
Yeah, it's at the end of the franchise, basically, isn't it?
Like, maybe he's like the... he turns into like the Incredible Hulk, where he can like turn into a gremlin because he wants to, not because he has to, and then turn back at will.
Yeah, that's a good show.
That would be a cool little moment where they're like, oh, you could do this. Oh, wow. Like sort of like in a movie where a werewolf discovers they can turn at will and they can use the power as they want to, and then they can like, you know, control it a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? In that last Avengers movie, George, I'm not sure I like that about the Hulk.
I love the smart Hulk. I love it because, yeah, I've always liked the idea of having that much ability, that power, but then having it tempered with actual intelligence.
Because you know what? The Hulk moment that I liked in that movie was when he met the Ancient One on the rooftop in New York, and she whacks him, and the real Bruce Banner kind of spirits out, and Hulk goes flying out, and then she talks about it, and I was like, oh, that's good, we got Bruce back, I like that. So I was up for that, but yeah, I didn't get down with that smart Hulk thing. It was weird.
That's like a standard, like the comics have done that, like where they'll have him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it, for a long time it was one or the other, but then there's like a whole arc where they had like multiple colored Hulks, like a gray Hulk and a red Hulk and that sort of thing. But the but smart Hulk is like when he fused with Banner and just kind of became like this double entity. That was when he really like did some cool stuff.
I guess we'll never see the Gremlins in the MCU, will we?
I don't think so, unless they wind up on a spaceship or something.
Yeah, but maybe it's the Guardians other side. Of the Galaxy. It's the wrong owners, isn't it? It's just the Warner Brothers.
Gremlins of the Galaxy.
That's the Batman side, isn't it?
We'd probably be more likely to see them in another Batman movie, like the Lego Batman movie.
Well, that's right. They did do that in the Lego Batman, didn't they? Did the Lego Batman movie go across... Did it cross the streams on Marvel and DC, or was it all the DC?
No, it was all DC. DC and like Warner Brothers. Like I said, Gremlins were there, and
that's right.
I think there was all... But there were so many things in there. It's hard to remember, keep track.
It's hard. So they also talk about the Roger Ebert review of Gremlins 2. Roger Ebert gave it 2.5 stars out of what I believe is a maximum for him of 4.
What did he give the first Gremlins?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to Google that right now, George. Let's have a look.
We're playing Google Music while Neil types quickly into his keyboard.
Roger Ebert.
Gremlins. Googling. Review. We're looking it up as we go.
And what does he do? He gives it 3 out of 4 stars, George.
Okay. Yeah.
I would agree with that. I might maybe give it 3.5, actually.
Maybe he dinged it that half star because of the wanton, molten violence. And he was like, I can't be supporting a movie that actively acts out against other film reviewers.
Well, it's an interesting question, and I guess it depends entirely on your own preference and perspective of which is the better movie, or which is kind of the more successful movie at what it's trying to do, right? And they're two different questions, because I feel like they both execute their own specific plans extremely well.
Yeah.
But they're very different plans. So yeah, I think more people are probably on board with the plan of the first movie. Just, you know, nice kind of small town horror comedy. Starts out nice, turns into a horror. And then the second one takes a little bit more getting your head around. And I feel like that puts some people off.
So I think it boils down to this. Like, the original Gremlins, you will like if you like good movies. Because it's well crafted, the script is good,
looks
it's funny,
great.
It's dark, it looks amazing. Gremlins 2, you'll like if you like a certain kind of movie. So it already subsets you down into like, okay, well, the dark horror comedy, which is the original, that's kind of a funny thing. And like, it's got dark, it's got scary, it's got funny, it's got silly, but it's not over the top on anything. It's a nice balance. That is a solid film.
Mm-hmm.
This one is like, well, you will like this if you are like, you like parody, if you're really into this. Or you have to basically qualify, you have to name sources that you can refer it to, that if you like this, then you will probably like this because it has these elements.
Yeah.
So you have to, there's like a gatekeeping aspect of like, you have to go through this next level of movie appreciation to get into this movie.
And that narrows it straight away, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And that's why I feel like there's like a slightly narrower idea of people that like the movie, aside from, like, you know, the people that saw this first and that this was their introduction to Gremlins. That's like, oh, this is like the funny kind of slapsticky live action cartoon that it is.
Yeah, and they both go on to talk about their own personal view, or it kind of, you know, they have the old chat about when they first saw it and all that kind of stuff. And what was interesting to me was that one of them didn't like it so much back when it came out when he was a kid, but now likes it a lot more. The other one loved it when he was a kid for the goofy comedy stuff. And then grew a deeper appreciation of it once he's kind of old enough to get all the meta stuff. And I feel like those are basically the two main reactions to this movie. You either don't like it, but then you kind of grow to, okay, I do appreciate that, is quite funny. Or you goof out on it and you love it, and then that love stays with you, and then you also get that appreciation.
Yeah, I think even after all the time we talked about it, coming down to it, and hearing their opinions on it, they have some valid opinions on some of the meta humor and the pokes and the funs and the nudges and the winks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, one of them is like all into the like, I love every bit of it. And then the other one's like, there's a few points that pushed it a little too far for me, which is funny because the points that he talked about, I think, are some of my favorites. Like the film break in the middle.
Yes.
And, like, the inexplicable reason why there's a gremlin wearing a No Gizmo t-shirt at the end.
Yeah, that really got that guy, didn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't like that. And I think his point on that was that it took him out of it because obviously there's no way they can print t-shirts with Gizmo on it in time. But, you know, I think the point of the movie is that, well, of course they can't.
Yeah, well, in the same movie, the first movie, where did they get little bitty Caroler outfits?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's just an exaggeration of that, isn't it? Like,
and all the clothes they were wearing in the bar and in the movie theater. I mean, unless they just robbed a bunch of small children or like they happened upon a cache of doll dress up clothes.
Yeah, so,
I mean, that, where are they going to get these things?
Do they even make like children size trench coats?
For the little pervy kids, run around the playground flashing their underoos at people.
But I thought that was an interesting take when he.
Side note: if your kid does that, he's gonna go to jail.
Yeah, it's not a good start.
Now because he's like little, but when he grows up, he will go to jail.
Yeah, he'll be in juvie before you know it.
It's not an if; it's a when.
I mean, I did like their views, though, in that, as you say, George, one of them was just, I love this so much. And the other was like, hey, I love it too, but it does go a little far. And actually, I found that I agreed more with the guy that thought it goes a little far. But to me, it doesn't go too far in those things. I don't mind the t-shirt with Gizmo and the kind of line through it. The bits that got me, and I think they pick out some of this stuff as well. The bits that get me were the over-excessive use of the cartoon noises for Daffy.
You mean the non-diegetic sounds?
Exactly. And they talk about this a little bit. And they talk about breaking the fourth wall generally, because obviously that happens, you know, fairly significantly in this movie.
Yeah.
They mention that the first tell about in the movie about the fourth wall not being kind of intact is when George the Gremlin George the Mogwai and the gang first get born, and then they rip off the grate of the air vent and they throw Gizmo down it, and what George whacks Lenny in the head with the grate as he's pulling it off, and we get the bird tweet noises. So now we mentioned those a lot in our show, yeah. And they got on our nerves quite a lot.
Yeah, well, we got the first instance of that in Gremlins when they did the dragon breath thing and you heard the gong out of the room.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
That was in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Now if that's not telling you what this is all about, I don't know what is. Actually, that I'd forgotten about that one, George. The one I was going to pull out was the choo-choo train noise. When
yeah, that was
in the bar.
When they were talking about this on the thing, I was like, you're forgetting the train noise when he sticks his finger mm-hmm. in the light switch. I mean, the light fixture. That's very obvious that that's non-diegetic.
Exactly.
So I feel like there were more than they were thinking of, but yes. the Tweety Bird noises are, that's such a dead giveaway.
Yeah. And it made me sad that we didn't get the Tweety noises when, you know, when Stripe, when he's got the chainsaw and the chainsaw drags him along the wall and it whacks him into the wall.
Yeah, I that would be cool. But I think at that point they were kind of leaning heavily on the hard horror.
Yeah, they
and I think they would have. Yeah, all the places we'd heard them before, they've been trying to balance like scary with humor. And that time they were like, no, we need to lock it down and like dial this in. That we got to pick a genre.
That was probably the right call. Yeah, fair enough.
And the thing is, I love fourth wall stuff. Like all the stuff in Deadpool. You know, fourth wall break. It's not a fourth wall break. That's like 16 walls. All that stuff. And Fleabag, some of the funniest moments are like those little asides to the camera. Like just the moment where she makes a connection with the audience. It's great. And then like the second season when they're playing around with that, when Andrew Scott's calling her out, I'm like, where did you go? What are you doing? Like those moments of like these meta moments I love in film. It's just something about the way they did it in this. It was just a little too tongue-in-cheek, a little too like finger to the side of the nose, wink wink for me.
Well, they went it was too much for me, you know, the whole, I mean, every time we had Daffy on the screen,
yeah, it was just, he was so obnoxious.
Oh my god,
because it was the googly eyes and
they also talk about, so one of them interviewed Robert Picardo a few years ago. So they talk about that a little bit, and then they play a little clip of the interview. What they note about this is that... So Robert Picardo is not, I guess, the main star, the big star of this movie, of Gremlins 2.
No.
That is Zach Galligan. And then there's an episode of Star Trek Voyager, which Zach Galligan appeared in. Now, yep. Robert Picardo is very much the main star, or certainly the most famous actor on that particular show. And so it was a bit of a turnaround. So you were the main star, but now you're just having like a little guest appearance. And what I think the interviewer was trying to get Robert Picardo to dish a little dirt on Galligan.
Uh-huh.
But Picardo was obviously way too nice and way too kind of, you know, Hollywood professional for that. And very quickly kind of, I think, sussed out what was happening. And then
I got the vibe that he was like, he was just more focused on his own stuff. He's like, yep, he was in Voyager with me. And then I did the play with Phoebe Cates.
He moves on to talk about Phoebe Cates.
I did check off with Phoebe and he's like, okay, well, great. You're this is all the things you're doing. Cool. We want to hear you talk about Zach Galligan, but you know, let's focus on your stuff too.
It was quite funny. I feel like that's what anyone should do when someone asks him about Galligan. Just move on to talking about Phoebe Cates.
To Zalligan, which I think is his own private celebrity couple name.
For himself.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Is he still monitoring his phone every morning for a call?
Every day. Every day. Yeah. Just what? Nope, not yet. Okay.
Just first thing I'm here, guys. He wakes up. I'm still here.
I'm here.
Oh, boy. What one of them? I don't know which one it is. One of the white guys there on this show, George.
Is it left white or right white?
I can't remember. Points out that the paper shredder scene when they put the paper shredder, the Gremlin paper shredder, was exactly the same minute 54 as the mixer bowler scene. Yep. In the Pelter kitchen.
It's funny because we kept pointing out like the beats and like how much the exact same things were happening.
Yeah.
And like how they would turn like the microwave scene and microwave with Marge. That didn't turn out the way we thought it would. They end up blowing up the place with microwaves and stuff. So like they turned it on its head. But yeah, that was really funny that it was like exactly 54 minutes in where the two scenes happened.
I did not pick up on that. I don't think we mentioned anything about that, George. We didn't pick up on that, I don't think.
No, I never saw that. And I also didn't make the, like, I don't know if this is true, but I liked, I think it was Mike's comment about the reason why the Gremlins look different is because they are made from paint water, but then so is the first set. But
that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That was your theory as well, wasn't it, George? That there was the paint water.
I do like when people back me up.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, they did.
Independent sources confirm.
Indeed. It's a good theory. I like it. The Canadian restaurant gets a lot of love as well.
Well, it's because it's one of the best scenes.
It is one of the best scenes, isn't it?
Like, just the dialogue itself is okay, that's a thing, but the fact that like they are in a Canadian, like they pointed out in the thing, is like they could have just stuck them in any Gigi New York restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nope, we're gonna make a whole gag about this.
Yeah, like 25 gags.
Yeah,
yeah, why not?
It's a little horny.
it's a good example. It's possibly the best example in this whole movie of where they could have just done it, like, as you say, George, in a regular way, but they go the extra mile. Like, you know, nothing is wasted in this movie. Not a single moment that could be turned into a joke.
Yep. Everything's got to be like, well, how can we make this weird or funny? And then how can we do four more like it within the same span of time?
That's right. I laughed out loud when they played the clip of Fire, the Untamed Element.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oldest of man's mysteries. This building is... I forgot about that a little bit. And yeah, you know
this
what?
Building's on fire. And the lady goes, what? Like, yep, it's on fire.
I actually laughed out loud at that clip. I thought, you know what, this movie... I do give it a bit of shit sometimes, this movie. George,
no, absolutely. When it hits, it hits.
Oh, it really does.
Like, I'll give it that 100%. It's just the times when it doesn't hit, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the hitting parts are kind of strung out throughout, and they're not consistent. Like, I loved all the lab stuff with Dr. Catheter, but as soon as it just turned into like a weird, okay, gremlins are morphing, and then after that, it's just like vignette of like weird gremlin stuff. Mm-hmm. I liked the bit in the Froyo bar where she's asking about the organic peanut yes. butter cups. I loved Phoebe's like President's Day horror story that got cut off short.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the computer bits where the computer's like, you know, starting to malfunction.
Mm-hmm. I like another bit they mentioned. I think it's another clip they play where the alarm sounds when Phoebe Cates in the elevator. She presses the alarm button and it's the gremlins just going, wah, wah. It's like, they're doing the alarm. It's brilliant. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. There really is. I should probably watch it again, actually, sometimes, George.
I guess. I don't know. I might watch it with my kid when she gets around to watching Gremlins.
There's a question. Are you going to give Gremlins 2 a bit of a wide berth now after what we've been through?
I mean, considering the fact that the first time I'd seen it all the way through since the first time I saw it, period, was when we watched the movie.
Mm.
It's just not part of my regular rotation, so I don't even think about it. Like, and I own a Blu-ray of it now, but I just don't think about popping it in.
But Gremlins... itself is always going to be a Christmas watch for you.
Oh yeah, I watched that again this year. It was great.
Yeah, it's always great, isn't it? Yeah, one thing they mention, which I don't know why that just reminded me, George. They give John Horror a lot of love.
Oh yeah, they talk about the lighting. Well, mostly the lighting across Dante's movies, but John Horror has always been Dante's cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
But like the use of light through blinds, which is common because we have that in, they pointed out The Howling.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's multiple scenes with transitions using shadows. And then there's even like the scene in a lot of the natural light stuff they did in the classroom, both when Billy was there and then when the gremlin hatches. Like, we got a lot of stuff where we're not, we're just like, oh wow. Like, you just, the subtleness of the light's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. What a legend is John Horror. Fantastic. Well, and then they kind of close it out by saying, please don't make Gremlins 3.
Yeah. they did mention the cartoon, because at this point when this was recorded, I think September 18th, 2019, so like midway in the last year, already the cartoon had been announced and there was like talk of it. But since then, we have heard confirmation that it is slated to, is it 2021? I think it's going to come out.
It's coming.
It's on the docket for that. So that's something to look forward to if it's good.
Yeah. And I like the artwork so far.
Yeah. Yeah. The little teaser poster they put out is really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Unlike some of the recent Blu-ray box art, but there you go. Yeah, I don't know, George. What do you think? Should they make one or not? Should they just not bother?
Well, here's the thing is, like, I like how at the very end they were saying, like, don't make Gremlins 3. He's like, don't make Gremlins 3. It was like, yeah, like, don't. He's like, they'll do it.
Don't do it.
Which, did last time, I don't remember, did we discuss the cultural explosion of Baby Yoda?
Only very briefly.
Yeah, because I think at that time,
I'd only seen, like... You said he looked like a green testicle with ears.
but with the big ears and the face and then the little hands and, like, he looks... Like, mm-hmm. The whole joke about the meme where they say, like, copy my homework and make it look different so we don't know it's from me. And they show a picture of Gizmo and then Baby Yoda with the exact same head tilt, ear width, mm-hmm. and, like, a skull shape, except, you know, one's furrier than the other. I have a feeling that with the explosion of that cultural element, because I think maybe by then I'd only seen, like, one or two, like, episodes of The Mandalorian, maybe not even that. Like, right. It was, I hadn't even watched it yet because I, you know, when did Disney Plus come out?
Oh, November, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So, I saw it. I've seen a few, like a couple episodes.
Maybe a couple, right.
So, I feel that with the just embracement of, basically, because, like, Baby Yoda is like a gremlin and a Mogwai, like, smushed together. I just think it's not going to be very long before they announce they're going to give a movie a shot.
Yeah, maybe it's just rung a few bells, hasn't it?
Yeah, like, we can do this. I mean, it's got to be practical puppets because we talked about that. Then they also talked about the CGI just being the death of this kind of movie.
Yeah, is Baby Yoda a practical puppet?
He is. I actually have a friend, cannot disclose their name, but they work on The Mandalorian and they have interacted. They're season two, so they definitely can't tell me any details as to story, and I don't want any anyway.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it has been confirmed that there are, it's a practical puppet. And, like, that's one of the reasons, like that's not even, like, a big spoiler or anything like that. Because one of the reasons that, one of the big jokes was that Werner Herzog fell in love with Baby Yoda because it was, like, a real thing he could interact with. And he's like, you know, it is the best puppet. Yeah, and he has, like, yeah. So just having that tangible, interactable thing.
Hmm.
And also, just recently, I've seen some stuff on The Mandalorian about how, like, it's all shot on a set. Like, it's never outdoors.
I saw that. Yeah. That was posted up on the Alien Minute.
Yeah, they use a ton of, like, extremely large, like, projection sets to, like, make the... And then they light, like, dynamically as they go, so they're not, like... And they're simulating...
Sounds incredible.
It's the amazing new technologies for utilizing real-world stuff. But giving the actors something to look at, so we're not completely. They're just not like trying to, like, the prequels. The biggest problem with those was everyone was staring at a green screen the whole time. They had no way to invest emotion in things.
Right.
So The Mandalorian's doing a great job of utilizing technology to make the actor's job easier, not harder, and it shows in the performances and in the way people connect with things.
I love The Mandalorian, George. I thought it was so brilliant.
Good.
Yeah. It's just got a realness, a real feel about it. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know, it's gritty, isn't it? It's it feels like a real world where it's dirty and grimy and.
Yeah, it's like the Star Wars we know exists, but with the first time we're actually getting really a chance to peek at.
So to realize that those sets are actually all manufactured indoors and on a soundstage is incredible because they really convinced me that they'd done this. Like, you know, on location somewhere.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
And then I actually was like, holy crap. I read up on it. I'm like, that's insane.
It's amazing. Now they never need to film anything outdoors ever again.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay inside the whole time. Everyone's going to be pale.
Well, I guess it works because it's they're in control then, aren't they?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about weather. And as someone who's worked on sets, the idea of getting up at like 3 a.m. to be on set by 4 and you're outside in the cold and just getting shit done. And it's miserable. It really does like suck the life out of you. I mean, you do it cause you love the job. You love the passion of getting up and making something creative. But when you're standing outside with like twisting a light on a very large light on a metal pole in order to simulate cars passing by so that you can have a scene in a truck where someone's having a conversation and people are like rocking the truck and like someone's flashing a red light for tail lights. And then there's like a white light for headlights. And like, this whole like circus going on, but everyone's outside in like 30 degree weather at night, freezing, because this is the only, I mean, we can't simulate darkness. You got to have darkness.
Yeah.
So to have this entire process brought inside and then to look so good is game changing.
Yeah. It sounds expensive though. I'm sure it's not available to everyone.
No, but it's also Disney. They have the money.
They have the money. They can do, but they make pretty much 95% of the things that everyone now watches anyway. So
basically,
yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what they want to do with Gremlins 3, George. But what we do know is, as you said, we've got the cartoon coming up, and so it's not for another year or so. But when we do get it, George, I think we said we're gonna take a little look at it, aren't we? And then maybe put something together for the listeners.
We'll peruse it, and if it's super good, we'll get into it. And if it's okay, we'll talk. We'll still talk about it. We'll put out some content, Gremlins related. But it depends on the quality and like the investment we get in the show.
Yeah. So make it good, people.
Yeah.
And then you'll get more. I'm sure this is a big incentive to the makers of Gremlins Secret of the Mogwai. If it's good, George and I will talk more about
it. Those weird old podcast guys will do something about this if you make it good. You'll so step it up.
Mogwai Minute content, the better it is. Well, I mean, that probably takes us to the end of this one, this Red Letter Media stuff. George, unless you had any other thoughts?
If you guys like the Gremlins 2, I recommend giving this a shot. It's fun, and it definitely touches on a lot of the high points of the movie. You can have your own opinions on it, and then come share your opinions on the Facebook group.
Yeah, and let us know if you're a cardigan wearer, or a sweater person, or a jumper. Jumpers for goalposts, or whatever play that suits. Might be. Let us know what your favorite play suit was. Mine is a little cowboy outfit. And I'll never forget that.
Which is really funny because guess what England didn't have any of? Cowboys.
Yeah, cowboys. Indeed.
At least not the Old West cowboys. You have cows and you have boys that tend the cows, but that's not the same.
It's not the same thing.
Not the same.
No. There you go. So come and find us on Facebook. We'll be there, George and I, if you want to ask us any questions. Has anyone asked us ever a question ever before, George, on Facebook?
I don't think so. People just have comments and they post memes, pretty much it.
And things about pizzas.
Yeah, pizza memes.
Keep them coming. We love them.
QB pizza, I try it.
And don't make grandma's drink.
Unless it's good. You know, on a Mac, when you can like move the bar around, at the top. Well, it's not where it needs to be.
Oh, it's detached. You got a detached bar.
Yeah, it's like it's stuck up above the.
Oof, sounds painful. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's floating.
You want to fix that? You want to lock that shit down?
Minimize it. Doesn't work. File.
A little piece of bone in my knee that was floating around.
Ugh.
That was quite painful.
Yeah.
Had to lock that down by having keyhole surgery. Not ideal.
They did surgery on you through a keyhole?
Yeah, I was on one side of the door, the surgeon was the other. Yeah. I like to challenge.
Very, very, very long tools for that.
he had a long tool, that's for sure.
Yep. He's a big dick.
Poking that in places that... You don't normally poke things. My knee.
Yeah.
Is what I meant.
I hope.
That's what I meant. Not recently. That was a few years ago. Just FYI. How's life anyway, George?
Life's fine.
You all right?
Life's life.
You eating well?
Yeah, well, eating enough.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start.
I don't know if it's good, but...
Oh, it's good.
It's there.
All
right. Well, fuck, I'll figure this out later. Okay, so let's just go ahead and...
Yeah, however you want to start.
I'm trying to think if I want to do different music for these, but I haven't thought of anything to do for the music. So I have to think about that.
What did Red Letter do? I can't even remember.
I don't know. They had like a little tinkly piano playing behind the whole thing.
They do. Should we have a tinkly piano?
We could get Chris to write us some tinkly piano music, right?
Yeah, just do a little tinkle. Let's have a little tinkle.
I'm sure he'd be down with that if we asked him to tinkle on us.
Yeah. I mean, how hard can it be to tinkle?
But we want tasteful tinkling. We don't want to.
I don't want to taste the tinkle.
Gross about it.
No.
Well, it depends on how much asparagus he's had.
Ew. Is asparagus the only food that makes your pee smell?
I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, no. Coffee will make your pee smell like coffee.
Coffee? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I drink coffee every day. I haven't noticed. Well, maybe now it all smells like coffee.
It's what it smells like. You don't even know. But yeah, that's the thing I've noticed that makes your pee smell like what it is coffee and asparagus.
That's weird. Maybe if I had a day where I don't drink coffee, I'd think, ooh, my pee smells weird.
Yeah, it's like it's missing a je ne sais quoi.
Exactly.
It's missing an umami note.
Ooh.
All right. Sorry. Do you remember what we said for the last one? Just like, hey, we're here. Surprise.
Well, the last one, we were talking about, we did the test. We were doing tests, and we talked about testes. And then that joke ran into talking about losing a testee.
Yeah.
And we talked about that movie with Sandra Bullock.
While you were sleeping.
And then we basically just started the show.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I know. So there was a bit about turnips.
Yeah, that's right. Turnips.
Which was funny because that came we did that before your card came. And I was like, what the fuck? This is all about turnips. Right.
And I think that was weird. My inspiration. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was already on its way. I can't remember.
I think it was already on its way because you'd asked me for my address and then we recorded and then it showed up like forever. So
you mentioned turnips and then the card arrived with talking about turnips.
Yeah, and I was shocked.
Small world, George.
The synchronicity.
Small world shaped almost like a turnip.
Oh, yeah, except for the pointy bits.
Yeah, and there's scraggly ends at the top.
Yeah, it's the scraggly ends. Okay.